Baba Basur per ches mishnevav. Ha'im ze bni neemon. Ze achi ene neemon. We're learning here Hilchos Yerusha. And the din over here is mentioned in that context. Person, who is his Yerush? So let's say we have somebody in front of us. He doesn't have, as far as we know, he doesn't have sons. Who's his Yerush? Could be his brother, could be his father, or even further, an uncle, a cousin, etc. Kefi, what we learned so far. He now tells us that he has a son. We didn't know about it. Zebni, he's mechadish that he has a son. On that, he's Nemon. If he says Zeachi, he says this is his brother, and what he's doing is he's undercutting other brothers that he is. Mechadish, that a certain unknown individual is his brother, and because of that, he cuts into the Chelkas HaYerusha that he has together with his other brothers from his father. Now, the Nemonus of Zebini is something that we've had in other places in Shas. There's a din that you have in the fourth Perek in Yevamos, Perek HaCholitz, you have it in the end of the third Perek in Kedushin, in Perek HaOmer. There's a din of Yakir, it's Machlokes Tanoim. The Posuk mentions in the context, Kiyas HaBechor Yakir, it's in the Parsha of Pishnaim, that we've discussed in Parshas Kisetze. That word Yakir doesn't mean to recognize, it means to cause recognition. What does that mean? That means that there's an emonus on a father to say Zebni. We paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that holds the din of Yakir, which per Parshas means that a father always has an emonus. However, there's a big sugi over here on Dav Kuf Chav Zayin, on Dav Kuf Lamed Dalet, Yitochin, this is one side in the Rishonim, that the Maskonis HaSugi is that the din of Yakir is only insofar that the son is already known as his son. So now what he's saying in the Parsha of Pishnaim is he's saying that this one is his Bechor. There's another thing that's evident from there also, that if he says on somebody who we thought of till now as his second son, he says that Zeploini Bni Bechorihu, so then what he's saying on the allegedly older son is that it's not from him. Then that son will become a mamzer. We have to be machzik him as a mamzer. And that's a sugya in Kiddushin, exactly how far we take that. But al kaponim, when somebody says Zebini, you're talking that the hakorah that he has a nemonus midaraisa is only on one of his sons to say Zebini b'chayrihu. However, to say on an outsider, a stranger, to be mechadish that he's Bini, could be it doesn't work midin yakir. Some Rishonim hold that it does work within Yaakov. Some Rishonim hold that there's not even so much of a lumdus to it. You look at the Rishonim in the Tur and the Beis Yosef, in the beginning of Reishain Test, that's where it's discussed. It's without a nemonus or without a special lumdus. It's just, a person has nechasim. Why shouldn't we be machzik him? It's like Oido is Baldin. Why shouldn't we believe him that this is his son? What are you going to say? You're going to say, yeah, if he wouldn't have a son, his first cousin, twice removed, who wanted to be Yerush, is waiting, is an 85-year-old man, is waiting to pounce on his nechosim. Lacham, I say, now you're undercutting him. That's not chav lacherim. That somebody who's not him, somebody who's not right now the owner of the nechosim, is disappointed because he won't be a Yerush. That's not called chav lo, it's not shaykh to him. What's discussed over here in the sugis is also that even without Yakir, and this is true even according to the Manda Omar, that doesn't hold of Yakir, is that there's an emonus in this type of case because of a migu. A person wants to give away his assets to this fellow who is now saying is his son. He has a very simple way to do it. Take out a pen and paper and write a shtar matona and give it. So migu that he could have given it's biyodei to give with a shtar matona. So really, it's naman also to say this is his son. However, Rishonim point out, Rishbam, Kuf Chav Zayin, Kuf Lamed Daled, and the Poskim, is that there's a major nafkamina. Since we hold ein other makna dovah shel bal olam, so in terms of a shtar matona, he'd never be able to be makna nechosim sheyiplu le'achar kach. Right now he's 65. We said 85 before. Let's say he's younger. He's 65 and he's saying that Pliny Bni. Lamaisa, he's going to live another 25 years. He's going to buy fields. He's going to buy houses. He's going to invest. He's going to make money. On everything, Acharkach, there is no Nemonis because the Nemonis is based on the Shtamaton of right now. The possible Shtamaton. If that's the case, then he won't have Nemonis on the Chosim Shluva Acharkach. This is the stud that the place can bring down. You look at the Rambam. The Rambam is clear that he's not Mechalik. Look at the Ketzos in Reish Ayin Tess, where Rabbi Chanan has an Arichus in the Kovitz Oros, Simen Chof Aleph on this inyan. As far as the nemonus of saying Zebni, we mentioned it's not only Negei Yerusha, it's Negei also Legabe being Matir, his wife, that she does need Yibum. If he says he has a son, till now we saw him as a childless person. La'ach HaMoise, his wife will be Zkuka Yibum. If he says Zebni, Simel, his wife is not Zkuka, there also there's a Miku, because he can hand his wife a get. You look at the Tais Yom Tov over here from Rishonim, it's not so poshut how to learn the Migu. A regular Migu is always, you could do A, similarly you could tie a B. Why not? Why not believe him? He could have gotten it anyways. Over here, to say that he could have been Megarish his wife is not as simple as that, because by being Megarish his wife, he's going to passel her Lekuhuna. Whereas if he dies, and his wife has to become Mutal and Almona, but she's not a Skuka Leibum, over there, she'll be Ksheir Lekuhuna. So it's clear why he would want to not just be Megarisher. So the Shaila is whether that takes away from this type of Migu, or it's enough that it lemaisas biyode to create the effect of Zebini. So that's what's discussed over here. Now, that's all Zebini. It's Ze'achi Enenemur. Because what does that have to do with him? We're talking here about somebody who has three other brothers. We're not talking about somebody who doesn't have a brother. We're talking here, he has brothers. So now what he's doing is he's bringing in something else. They don't know him. They're not masking that this fellow is a brother of theirs. The fact that he was the one who said it, good, you call it his oidos baldin. But it's b'machem shechav lachem on them. And because of that, the Mishnah adds, v'noitel imay b'chelkoi. Since he made oidos baldin, so his chelek of the nachla will be undercut. That means, let's say he has three brothers. Each one till now was assumed to be a 25% Yerush. He introduces Pliny that nobody ever heard of as their brother. The three brothers reject out of hand that this is their brother. They stay with their 25%. In his 25%, he'll divide it with that brother, Kefi. What will be the ratio? As far as his Hadas Bal, then he's entitled only to 20%. So out of his 25%, 5% will go to his brother. The other parts of this fellow's 20% rather, are muchzik bidei the achim who didn't believe him. So maybe he can't get that. Meis cuts the other way too. Yachsu nechosim l'mkaimon. When he dies, that means the suffix dies, the brother that was introduced. So now his nechosim are chosim l'mkaimon, and he gets back that 5%. The brother who was the generous one who introduced the brother that nobody knew about. The other brothers can't swoop in and say, ah, you might tell us that we have a brother. Yeah, but that's all kefi what was neschalik in the first place. This that we just said, that what goes around comes around, and the 5% goes back solely to the brother who said that the fifth one is a brother. That's only on that 5%. But any other nechosim that suffix has, on that, listen, Rabbi Yid, you made a hoidos baldin that the nechosim of this fellow are shaykh to all four of you. So then avada yeshu echavim, the hoidos baldin works l'gabi that. Now the Mishnah goes on to something else, l'gabi a shtar tzavo of a shchiv mira. Misha meis, v'nimtzeis diati ki kshura al yurechoi. A diatiki is Chazal's term. It's obviously Yevonis for a tzavo ashchiv mirah. Do tehei koi. Do tehei lemekam ulemehave. That means that it's a way of saying this shtar is valid. So the kitzur of that is diatiki. And it was found on him. Kshur al yorecho is Chazal's way of saying it's on him. Well, you know that he's holding on to it. Harezu en eklum. Since it's by him, it's not muchach b'chlal that he wrote this shtar and he gave it over and he executed it and he gave it over. If it's by him, maybe it was a rough draft. A rough draft is not his final gemar das. If it's not his gemar das, then we don't see it as a tzavah shchimera, and memela we don't honor it. However, zikabo lacher, if he actually executed the diatiki, the tzavah shchimera, and he gave it over to somebody else, Bein Minayoshim, both of the person who received the shtar is a legal Yerush, that means he gave it to his son, or he gave it to his brother, but Machmir doesn't have sons. Bein Shein Minayoshim, or he gave it to his lawyer or to anybody else, Dvorov Kayomin. We see this shtar as being his final Gemar Das. And here we have a klal. Divrei shchimra kichsuv v'chim surim. That means when it's a shchimra, when somebody who's on his way to dying, and he actually dies from the medical situation that he's in when he wrote his savo, the halacha is, since he's right now cholish, that's noite lomus, the halacha is chazal mesakin that he could execute his will and he give out nechasim without ma'aseh kinyanim. Whereas before we explained, if somebody wants to beat the system and he wants to get away from Hilchos Yerusha, he has two sons, he wants to divide his nechasim between two sons and two daughters, he's going to have to add shtorei matonos b'chayev, because la'ach ha'maisei, his nechasim don't belong to him. But if he gives out his nechasim as a shchimera, and he gives out all his nechasim, then his division of assets is chal. Chazal v'sachem, they don't want that a shchimera should have to worry, how's he going to, they don't want him to have it on his head, how's he going to execute his will. So they allowed it to be chal, even without a maisei king. Mishnah Zayin. Hakoisiv nechosov lebonov. If somebody's writing away his matonis to his children, but he doesn't really want to give away b'chayev, he wants to have his house, his car, his bank account, he wants. Why is he doing it? The case, the way it's explained to the Gemara, is that he wants to write that the ownership of his assets is biyad bonov, because he doesn't want that his nechosim lach ha-moisei should be mishabed, he's getting married again. That he doesn't want that his nechosim should be overly mishubed to the ksuba of his second wife, and children that he has from the second wife, kufi ha-shei his buyer. So Mela, what he does is he comes up with a trick. He writes over the nechosim to his sons, and what he wants to do is he wants to be Meshayah for himself, Achilas Peres. The Kinyan Aguf is Makna Mehayoim. The Kinyan Peres he's going to leave over until right before he dies. Tzorich Sheyichtov Mehayoim Ula Achamisa. The way to write out such a shtar, it's valid. The way to write it out is when you write Mehayoim Ula Achamisa, it's a steer. Is it from today? Or is it Lachamoisa? Ah, so what he means to say is Mehayoim on the Guf, Lachamisa is when somebody else could start, the recipient could be Nene from his Nechosin. Reb Yossi Oimer, Enitzorch. He doesn't have to write Mehayoim, because if he writes Lachamisa, he's saying that something will be Lachamoisa. But think about it for a moment. On top of the Shtar, he writes the Zman. When he writes that the shtar was executed in 2021, and he only died in 2041. So clearly what he's doing is saying that something was valid over here from 2021. What was that? Clearly what he's doing is he's saying that the matana was 20 years ago, except that there's a stop order, and the payers still belong to the Neisser, not to the Mekabel. So what he has is, he has a klal, Rabbi Yossi is where the Gemara explained it, that zman ishtal ashtar yuchir cholov. That's the machlok, it's a shal and a chokhis in the Loshon of Ashtar. We'll add one thing, is the way where this type of arrangement is used today, is if somebody wants to, older people sometimes want to write over their nechosim to their children, because for tax purposes, they don't want to be older and have liabilities and have property and assets, for Medicare, for other such things. And what they do is they write also the same type of idea, a guf mehayoim and peres lachamisa. So that's where this type of thing is used. Hakoisiv nechosov lebnoi lachamoisoi. Somebody writes nechosov lebnoi lachamoisoi, where he wants the guf mehayoim and peres lachamisa. Hoave neyocha limkor mebnei shehen ksuvim laben. The father can't sell the guf hanechosov because that already belongs to the sons. The son can't sell, even though Batsim, the son, already owns the guf anechosim. But his ownership of the guf is meshubid to the peris that the father still has a right to enjoy his own house and car, etc. Mochar ho'av, let's say the father does sell. What's chal? He can only sell the peris. Mechurin ad sheyomus. Now you look at the Rav, he says on mochar ho'av, stoma. Father sells a bistomius, the peris are sold until the point of Atchiyomus Ha'av. Why? Because it's automatic that when this father was makne, the guf, to the son, the fact that he left over for himself peris is a shiur, he left it over, and the peris will automatically go to the son la'achar moisoi. Not that he only sold the son the guf, and he left over for himself the peiros. And Mamela, when he sells it to somebody else, he's selling the peiros le'olam. He doesn't own the peiros le'olam. He owns and he's holding on to the peiros insofar that he could still enjoy them, that he's still alive. Mamela rega echad la'achamoysoi. It's poshut that the nechasim, the peiros, that is, also go to the son. Mocha ha'ben en lekech bem klum at shiyom esoav. How does it work in this type of case? The father has full rights to the peiros. It's not only for what he needs. He could pick it, he could give it away, he could sell it. The Mishnah is bringing out this point in a case where he wrote all his nechosim. He wrote the guf, let's say, to one son. Lamaisi has a bunch of sons. He excluded them by what? By giving to this specific son the field. He gave it to son Pliny, the guf mechayim, and the peiros are going to be lachamisa. So now, where do you see the divide of what he has? He has a schus hashtamshus and peiros kol mechayim. So it's like this: whatever was already cut off from the ground, let's say rent money, let's say he left over the usage of the house. So he lives there. He wants to rent it out. He's going on vacation. He wants to make some money off it. The money that was already paid to him is not part of the matana that he gave to the son Lachamoisoi, the peiros that are going to go to that specific son Lachamoisoi. But no, he was already zoicha as peiros in the rent money, or in the case of the Mishnah Mashiniach Tolush, in peiros that he was already tolush from the karka, and therefore they go to all his sons. The rent money that he has in his bank account doesn't go to that son. That son says, what do you mean? The father only had a schus on what he had b'chayef. No, this is already something that he had. And now it goes to all the Yorshim. Masha'en Kain, if he left over a field, clearly Meduik in the Mishnah, and the field grew peiros, and he hadn't, the father yet hadn't harvested peiros, which he has a right to, because he has a right to peiros b'chayot, but he hasn't harvested those peiros. Those peiros are part of the field. We see it as part of the guf, and the second he dies, that will go over to the son. L'chor, the same is true, l'gabi rent money that wasn't collected. Rent money that wasn't collected, only the son who's the recipient of the guf, which means that he has the peiros la'achamois oviv, he'll be the one that could collect the outstanding rent. Hiniach bonim gidoilim uktanim. Here, we're going to discuss now the halachas of how to do equitable distribution on what's called the tfusas habayis. Tfusas habayis is the term that's used in the Gemara and the Rishonim for the estate of the father. Now, one could argue that when somebody dies and his nechosim now, let's say, has five sons, they belong 20% to each son, is really the same thing as the shutfis. Each son now owns 20%. Yes, it's like a soda that's aimed at the chalukah, and as soon as one of them wants to make a chalukah, you'll have to address that. Kimavurim perek hashutfim. Shutfim could always be tevea, a chalukas hashutfis, a dissolution of the shutfis. So that's the way to look at it over here. Achroinim argue, Rav Chanan has a gantz arichus, and shtark meduyik in Rishonim, that tfusa sabayis is not your regular shutfis, but it's like a corporation. That means that the name of the field, the house, all the assets of the father is Yerushas HaFather. Yerushas HaAv, Yerushas HaBayis. Tfusa sabayis, it's what's nitvas as the bias that came from the maize. In that corporation, each of the sons have 20% stock, but not that each one owns 20% of the field. The ownership of the field belongs to the bias, to the all the sons together as Yashim. This might very well be the only makor in Shas, the musik of a corporation. When corporations came into vogue 200 years ago, G'dayla Echrenim wanted to know, if you have a corporation, you have an LLC, and it's owned 50% by a Yid, 50% by a Goy, is that a shutvis between a Yid and a Goy? Let's say there's no personal liability. Let's say the business wants to lend money, or all these suri ribis noig, is this a business that's owned by a Yid, or it's not owned by a Yid? There's no personal liability on the Yid. All there is just liability on the corporation. Achronim was shocked the Vittori. It's not clear what the makar to such a musig and shas is. Pashtus, if five people have schusim in an entity. So it's a regular shutvis. And then it's a money that's owned 20% by Yid. Of course it's a suri ribis. So because of that, Achrenim pointed out that it could be the only makor of such a musik is over here by Tfusa Sabayis. So here we have a Tfusa Sabayis. Some of the sons are gedolim. Unfortunately, the person died. He left over banim ketanim also. Ein ha-gedolim misparnesim alaktanim. The older brothers can't take more than the ketanim, saying that they have higher level of expenses. V'lo ha-ketanim nizoinim. The younger ones can't take mizoinus. There's a difference between misparnesim and nizoinim. Misparnesim are things that are besides for food. Car, clothing, that's definitely more expensive for gedolim than ketanim. Not that expensive, kids' clothes. Adult clothes cost a fortune. Nizoinin, maybe you'll say that the ketanim should be nizoin al hagdolim. The gedolim don't need that much food for children, seems to be more expensive. No, the halacha is each one has a schuz b'shova, el cholkim b'shova. That's the halacha. Nosu hagdolim, the older ones get married, and they take their share of the expenses, wedding expenses, from Tfusa Sabayis. So Yisu HaKtanim, the Ketanim can also get married and take their expenses from the Tfusa Sabayis. That means there's no schus to divide the Yerusha if Gedolim took out money that was in the account that their father left over for their wedding expenses. You have to first give out wedding expenses for the Ketanim, allot the equal amount of wedding expenses for the Ketanim to be put aside, and then you can make a chalukah on the shutvis, on the Tfusa Sabayis. Maybe the Ketanim will argue that we could get married from the father's estate, from the Tfusa Sabayis, the way you got married when our father was alive. The Ketanim were already married when the father passed away. Whatever the father gave the Gedolim is given. Now the Ketanim are saying, has right. Father paid, Avinu paid for your weddings. Why shouldn't the Tfusa Sabayis pay for our weddings? Tainu's not a tainu. What was mechayev is because he had steady income. He was working. That's not mechayev the Tfusa Sabayis. It's only the ratio over here where the gedolim took their hitzos from the Tfusa Sabayis. That's mechayev the wedding expenses of the tainu. But where the Tfusa Sabayis didn't pay, the father paid mechayev. That does not create a shibud, a mechayev on the Tfusa Sabayis to the banim haktanim. Mishnah Ches. Hiniach bonois gedolos uktanois. We're talking over here where daughters are being yerush, where obviously there are no sons. There are gedolos uktanis, similar to what we just had in Mishnah Zayin. Ein gedolos misparnesois alaktanois. The gedolos can't take their clothing, makeup, and so on and so forth from the Tfusa Sabayis, and they need more than the ktanois. V'le aktanis nizonis, like we said before, ktanis, the food is more expensive. They can't take more expensive food, elo. Alakdoilois. Then the Ketanis cannot take on the Cheshman of the Gdoilois. Elacholkis Bishova. Nosu Gdoilois. If the Gdoilois got married. Yisu Ketanis. Vim. Omru Ketanis. Hareu Nunoisis Kedeshon Asasam Atem. Our father married you off Bechayov and he married you off, so we get now expenses also. Ain't Shemin Lam. We read this Chelik of the Mishnah because it's mamish the same thing of Bonim and Bonois that we had. And Mishnah Zayin is the same thing as Bonus over here in Mishnah Ches. There is a chilek, however. Zechoyme, but Bonus mi Bonim. There is an added knage by Bonus that Bonim don't have. Shehabonus nizoinus al habonim. If there are daughters and sons, even though Schus Yerusha goes to the sons, but there's a Schus, the din of Yerusha, that goes to the daughters. The ein nizoinus al habonus. The Prothim was Chus Mezainis, we'll see him Yitz Hashem in Perk Tes. The mission is just pointing out over here is that Bonois could sap away, take away from the Chus Yerusha, Mashen, if they're all Bonois, the Mezainis that the Ketanois have a right to, which is Takon of Chazal, what we'll see in the next Perek, that cannot be Memayit in the Mezainis, in the Yerusha of the Gedolos.